Glad to see you back this evening. Good to see all of you here. Glad to have some of our travelers home that have been out on vacation. It's always good to get safely back home. We enjoy sometimes, as the season brings, the spring rains, gentle as they are, to water the earth and give the moisture to our lawns, to our trees, to our gardens. And this is a blessing from God. He rains down His blessings, some of them upon the just and the unjust. But there are some blessings, of course, that are only in Christ Jesus that we enjoy. But the rains that we see come down remind us of the fact that, you know, at one time things were different. Back in the very, very beginning, God watered the earth with a mist that rose up from the earth. That's how moisture was supplied to all of the earth during those early days prior to the flood. But we do read then there was a change when, as we read in Genesis chapter 6, that as man began to multiply on the earth, and it says daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God gave man, what this is saying is that there was a time when you had the sons of God and the daughters of men. These were the righteous individuals, the righteous men, sons of God. The daughters of men were those who were not faithful to God. And then there was intermarrying between the righteous and the unrighteous. And that diluted the holy seed, or the holy people, you might say, because it caused men to forsake and abandon God. Remember Solomon. God gave them 120 years. After 120 years, what's going to happen? God is going to bring an end to all flesh. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they bore children to them. These were the mighty men of old, the men of renown. So these are the offspring of these that came together. This is not, you know, as some people have said over the years, angels and human beings, you know, procreating. It's impossible. Angels don't have physical bodies. Angels are spirits. And angels, the Lord said, we're one day going to be like angels, neither male nor female. They are not like we are. But these individuals who became great men in those days were men of renown. They were great in a certain aspect, but they were not great in their spirituality before God, because you see in verse 5 that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's a bad place to be, to where you really can't have anything in your mind that's good. You have so left God and are so consumed with the passions and the desires of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vain pride of life, that all that goes through your mind is corrupt and evil. If that's the case, you can be certain that the actions of such people are also going to be corrupt and very dark. It was a wicked, wicked world during this time, and it brought about this response in God. He was very sorry. He regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But verse 8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How is it that one man finds grace? Grace is the favor of God. How is it that in a world so full of wickedness, that one man is able to find God's favor when everybody else is given over to wickedness? One thing that the story of Noah teaches us is that it's possible to do right, to live right, to think right, even when everybody around us does not do that. When the world around us is completely corrupt and given over to sin, we don't have to be like the world. Noah, without a doubt, was a man of courage and conviction because he was able to keep himself pure, a light that is shining, despite the fact that the world was very dark in his day. Genealogy of Noah is given in verse 9. It talks about, in other words, the sons of Noah. He's called a just man. He is said to be perfect in his generations. We're told that Noah walked with God. That's how a man can be counted as just and perfect, when you walk with God. To walk with God, of course, is to consider what God says to you so that you are going in the same direction as God is going. God is a certain nature. He's a certain way. His characteristics, his qualities are such that when we become like him, when we're imitating him and the things that he communicates through his word to us, then we're walking together with him, side by side. Our qualities are like his. We are imitating him. We don't know all the various aspects of the patriarchal law during this time. It's not recorded for us in a written form like we have the law of Moses given, and we read from Exodus onward the various laws that were given during those days. But Noah received that law. He knew what was expected of him, and he was faithful to keep it. So he walked with God in this way. That's how he found grace, and the world received the judgment of God. His sons are mentioned here, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The world also, he says, the earth was corrupt before God. Some of those sins are listed in various places of the scriptures, but specifically here, the earth was filled with violence, we're told. The earth was filled with violence. So you have evil thoughts, corrupt hearts, people just given over to hostility and violence. So God, it says, sees what has happened. And notice what it says in verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. This is a choice that people make. If we end up in darkness, it's because of what we personally have done. And we can't blame it on anyone. Our world today is a blaming nation. We live around that kind of mentality. Something bad is happening in my life. My life is, you know, gone to pieces. That's someone else's fault. That's my parents' fault. That's my society's fault. That's the way I was brought up. Noah, despite the fact that everyone around him was corrupt, was able to live and choose to do right, though everyone was choosing to do wrong. We can choose to be a light in darkness. And that's the strength that God gives through his word. And then there, of course, is our love for God. If we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we are going to keep his commandments, as Jesus said in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's a demonstration of our love for God. That's what Noah did. That's how Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And Noah's walking with God was Noah's keeping the commandments of God. God communicates with Noah. God tells Noah what to do. Build this ark because the end of all flesh has come before me. Verse 13. The specifications of the ark are given in the following verses. God tells him how to make the earth, or the ark, the levels that are going to be built in it up to the third level is specified. There's going to be a window. There's going to be a door. And everything that breathes, everything he says in verse 17, in which is the breath of life, is going to die, that is on the earth. So that doesn't include the fishes and other aquatic creatures. So it's everything that is on the earth. So even though some creatures in the waters breathe the breath of life, like the whales and the dolphins and so forth, they were not on the earth, but all the rest are going to be destroyed. And so God is going to bring them onto this vessel that he has prepared through Noah. And God will, verse 18, establish a covenant with him. He would go into the ark, and there they would find safety. They would find deliverance. They would find salvation. Here you see the example of how grace is found, and then the benefits of God's grace, which is salvation. And for us today, the same is true. God has delivered his word to us. That word we have to heed. We are going to face a world full of of darkness and hostility, and there will be many things that we will be tempted to do because others around us are doing them. But we must remember Noah and have the courage to be light in a world of darkness. We have to remember that there are consequences to choosing the wrong way, and that we'll all have to stand before Christ in judgment one day. Noah, after receiving all that God gave him, in verse 22, we're told, "Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Here is a man, according to the first verse of the next chapter, was righteous before God in this generation. How do we stand tonight before God? If God were to examine us in our hearts, in our lives, would we find grace in the eyes of God tonight? Would God look upon us and say, "You are righteous in this generation. You have fulfilled my word. You can come into the safety of the ark and find salvation." Today, that ark, that place of safety, is the church that Jesus established. And we will be spared from the destruction, the judgment that's going to come in the last day. It's not going to be water. It's going to be a fiery judgment. It's interesting that the world, in fact, the entire universe, is going to be destroyed by fire. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Everything will pass away with a great noise, we're told. And then the second death, which will be experienced by those who reject God and do not find His grace, will be an eternal fire that never ends. God's grace He desires to bestow upon all. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He wants to save every one of us. But that's up to us. We have to make that choice. Let's choose, like Noah, to find grace in the eyes of God, the salvation that God offers. And if you're not a Christian, through faith, repentance, confession, baptism, we're brought into God's family. Faithful living lets us find grace and hope of eternal life. If you have wandered but need to come home to your Father, if you need to make your calling and election sure tonight, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.